The Stranger's Wife, written by Anna Lou Weatherly and read by James Lely.
Hell is empty, and all the devils are here. William Shakespeare. Prologue. Beth, June 2018. Something is wrong. The house is silent, too silent. It's never quiet in Beth Lawler's house, not with a boisterous four-year-old running amok. Even when her daughter is taking an afternoon nap, a habit she must get out of before she starts school, there's still always background noise of some sort. Daytime TV, the radio station that Marta likes to listen, sometimes sing along to, or the low hum of white goods. "Hello," she calls out instinctively, throws her keys and handbag down on the console table in the hallway, kicks off her gym shoes, even though she hasn't been anywhere near the gym today. "Marta? Hello?" She feels a trickle of something inside the pit of her stomach. It's not fear, exactly, but it's somewhere approaching it. "Marta?" She called out to her housekeeper again. Well, housekeeper come nanny come friend, as it had turned out. The nanny part hadn't been in the original job description, though. Neither had the friend bit. But both of these things had transpired quite organically, something she was now extremely grateful for. Initially, it had been Evan who suggested they hire in some help. "I want you to put all your focus on Lily," he'd said. "I don't want you to have to worry about stacking dishwashers, keeping the place clean and tidy. We can pay someone else to do all the menial day-to-day stuff." She was aware that usually this would be music to most women's ears, but secretly she had been disappointed. She had hoped to return to her job as a nurse 6 months after giving birth, maybe just part-time to begin with. "You never need to go back to work, Beth," he'd said when she had gone on maternity leave. "Not now you're about to embark on the most important and rewarding job of all. Besides, it's not as if we need the money, is it?" She had missed the sense of purpose her job had provided, though, and her colleagues at the hospital, so having Marta on hand had turned out to be something of a godsend. Lily had been a tricky baby, plagued by colic and reflux, and she had spent the best part of the first year of her daughter's life in a cranky, sleep-deprived fug as a result. She didn't know how she would have coped without Marta back then, and in truth, feared she might not have coped at all. Now she was glad that Evan had insisted on an extra pair of hands because she'd bonded with the kind and intelligent Norwegian girl who shared her dry sense of humour and happened to be blessed with the patience of a saint. She trusted Marta, trusted her with the things that were most precious to her, including her secrets. She calls Marta's name again, but the cold, unsettling silence remains. The pushchair is in the hallway, and Marta's Fiat 500 is still in the driveway. Odd. This is an indicator that something's definitely not right. She takes the stairs, two by two, calling out her name intermittently. She's not overly concerned at this point. She moves along the landing towards the nursery. The door is shut, and she opens it with an unfamiliar trepidation, the source of which she doesn't fully understand. The room is dark. The ridiculously expensive handmade unicorn appliqué curtains are drawn, daylight straining to filter through them. Creeping towards the cot bed on the balls of her feet, she peers into it and is relieved to see her daughter sleeping. Lily immediately stirs as if she senses her mother's presence, causing her to spring backwards. She studies her daughter's perfect face from a safe distance. Her eyes closed like two ticks on a page, her lashes dark like her own, curling upwards.